Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Tuesday, the 14th of March, 2017. We are in the book of Ezekiel. We'll be beginning in chapter 14 today, and we'll see how far we get. I'd like to get through 16, but we never can tell, can we? Lots of commentary needed in these chapters. Chapter 14 is all about idolaters and what Yahweh has to say about them. Most of the chapters of this book is Yahweh speaking through Ezekiel. Ezekiel's comments are few and far between. He's all about relaying the visions and the speaking that Yahweh is doing to him. But before we get into today's chapter, I'd like to let everybody know that Eurofolk Radio is offering a solar calendar according to Enoch's solar calendar. And it shows all the Hebrew feast days. It's got the Gregorian calendar as a main format. But then in the boxes of the days, it shows the Hebrew day and date. And we have a complete feast day listing in this calendar, so you won't get confused and miss out on the feast days. It's on heavy paper, beautiful, a gloss, professional printing. It is not a homemade job. It is absolutely gorgeous. And if you would like a copy, just click on the donate button on the top of the page, on the EFR page, and send us a donation of $20 or more to get your calendar. Please put the word calendar in the message when you click on the donate and give us your mailing address, and forthwith you will get your calendar. I have mine and it is absolutely beautiful. So that's what I've got to say about that. Let's get into chapter 14 here of the book of Yechezkel, which is his Hebrew name. Verse 1, then came men of the elders, 2205, of Israel to me and sat before me. Pardon me, I had to clear the pipes there a little bit. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, these men have lifted up their idols in their mind and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I let them inquire of me at all? What it means, basically, is they have made their idols foremost in their thoughts, and they have put their idols in plain view to see them. So that's what they're doing. Verse 4, therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord Yahweh, every man of the house of Israel that lifts up his idols in his mind and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and comes to the prophet, speaking of Ezekiel, I, Yahweh, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols. In other words, the more idols the guy's got, the worse the offense. Verse 5, so I may seize, 86:10, the house of Israel by the heart, in other words, terrorize them, because they are all estranged, 21:14, as become like foreigners from me through their idols. Verse 6, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord Yahweh, turn back, turn away your faces from all your abominations. In other words, get rid of your idols. Turn away from them. Verse 7. Because every one of the house of Israel or of the sojourner, that's a temporary dweller in the land, a newcomer, that sojourns in Israel, which separates himself from me, and that's by apostasy, that's 5:1-4:4, separates himself. And he separates himself from Yahweh by his apostasy, and lifts up his idols in his mind, and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and comes to a prophet to inquire of me, I, Yahweh, will answer him directly. Here's verse 8. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a byword. 4:9-1:2. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 9. If a prophet is deceived, 6:6:0:1, and speaks a word, I, Yahweh, have deceived that prophet. I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. He's going to make the prophet look like a fool and destroy his reputation. Verse 10. They shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be as the punishment of the seeker. Now, these were false prophets and false seekers. They would inquire of Yahweh and then go back to their idols. So Yahweh's not going to give them a straight answer. He doesn't want anything to do with them. Verse 11, so that the house of Israel may no more go astray, 8:5:8:2, from me, nor be defiled, 29:30, any more with all its transgressions, 6:5:8:8. But they may be my people, and I may be their Elohim, declares the Lord Yahweh. So, he's trying to get them to come back. But they're not doing it. So, in verse 12, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, because the land sins against me by acting, 4:6:0:3, unfaithfully, 4:6:0:4, that is ma'al, ma'al. They sound identical, but they're spelled slightly differently. I will stretch out my hand upon it and break the staff of bread, that's the food supply of it, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off Adam and beast from it. Okay, it could mean four-legged beasts, but also two-legged beasts. Verse 14. Even if these three men, Noach, Daniel, and Job, were in the midst of it, that's Noah, Daniel, and Job, okay? They could save themselves only by righteousness, declares the Lord Yahweh. In other words, it's pretty much past saving. Verse 15, if I cause evil living creatures, that's physical harm by these living creatures, to pass through the land and they bereave it, that means to make childless, so it becomes devastated with none passing through because of the living creatures. Verse 16, even if those three men were in the midst of it, as I live, declares the Lord Yahweh, they would save neither sons nor daughters. They alone would be saved, but the land would be devastated. So that, like I said, they're pretty much too far gone to redeem. Verse 17, or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, pass through the land so that I cut off Adam and beast from it. Verse 18, even if those three men were in the midst of it, as I live, declares the Lord Yahweh, they would save neither sons nor daughters, but they alone would be saved. Verse 19, or if I send pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it Adam and beast, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the midst of it, as I live, declares the Lord Yahweh, they would save neither son nor daughter. They would only save themselves by their righteousness. That's pretty harsh. But then, the apostasy of Israel at that point was pretty harsh. Verse 21, because thus says the Lord Yahweh, how much more when I send my four calamitous judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the evil living creatures, and the pestilence to cut off Adam and beasts from it. And verse 21, you can reference Revelation 6, verse 8. Verse 22, yet behold, in it shall be left, 3498, escapees, 6413, that shall be brought forth, sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth to you, and you shall see their ways and their deeds, 5949, and you shall be comforted, 5162, concerning the calamity, 7451, that I have brought upon Jerusalem, concerning all that I have brought upon it. Verse 23, they will comfort you because you see their ways and their deeds, and you shall know that I have not done this without cause, 2600, in all that I have done to it, declares the Lord Yahweh. This is another doom and gloom divine punishment chapter, folks. It's verse 1 has the elders coming to Ezekiel. And that shows who was going to get blasted by Yahweh in the upcoming verses. These elders have kept their idols, had them in their houses. They were called teraphim, as household idols. And Yahweh asked why they would even dare to inquire of a prophet concerning him, because they were worshiping these idols. They thought so much of these idols in their homes. They had become apostatized like the foreigners because of all their idols, which is what all the lands around Israel had done, and Yahweh had told Israel in the beginning to slay all these people, or they would turn them away from Yahweh to these idols. And it came to pass. They did not listen. So, he's really going to lay it on it. He's going to send evil living creatures, and evil is 7451, Ra, in a sense of physical harm, and that's backed up by the bereaved 7921, Shakal or Shakol, and it means childlessness due to violence. So, it's a mess. And let's get into chapter 15 here, which is a short little chapter. And then we're going to get into 16, which is a long chapter. Chapter 15 is about a useless vine, and you can reference Jeremiah 2, verse 21 on that. Chapter 15, verse 1. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, how is the wood, 6086, of the wild vine, 1612, more than wood of a branch, 2156, which is among the trees of the forest. Here it's Geffen, but this is not a cultured grapevine, but a useless wild variety. And 2156, the branch, is used, it's a Zamora, it's a branch used in pagan worship rites. And you need to see chapter 8, verse 17 on that. Verse 3. Can wood be taken from it to do work for 399? Or take a peg from it? That's peg is 3489. To hang, 8518, any vessel on? No, it's real soft wood and breaks easy. It's all pulpy. It's pretty much useless. Verse 4. Behold, it is given to the fire for its food. It burned well. The fire devours both ends, and the middle is charred. Is it prosperous for work? No. Behold, when it was whole, it did no work. How much less shall it do work now because the fire has devoured it and it is charred? Verse 6. Therefore, says the Lord Yahweh, like the wood of the wild vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for food, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He's comparing them to this useless wood of a wild vine, not the cultured vine of pure-blooded Israel that brought forth fruit. He's saying they're good for nothing. Verse 7, I will set my face against them. They shall go forth from fire, but fire shall consume them. And you shall know that I am Yahweh when I set my face against them. Verse 8. I will make the land a desolation because they have acted 4603 unfaithfully. 4604 declares the Lord Yahweh. They are not faithful to Yahweh. They're worshiping the poison fruit of idolatry. And it's very, very pitiful. They were so far gone that Yahweh doesn't even want to fool with them. Boy, oh boy. That's why he was sending them away for 70 years to divide the good people from the bad people, those that came to Yahweh would be saved, and those that cleaved to the Babylonian practices, which eventually became modern-day Judaism, he was going to destroy them. And he's going to destroy the ones that do that today. Verse 1 of chapter 16, this is going to be a long chapter. I forget how many verses are in it. A whole bunch. Those are all notes. 63 verses, that's a lot. Verse 1 of chapter 16, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord Yahweh to Jerusalem, Your origin, 4351, and birth, 4138, are of the land of Canaan, 3669. Called them Canaanites. Your father was an Amori, that's an Amorite, 567, and your mother a Hitti, 2851. That's a Hittite. That's into whom Esau married. He's calling them Canaanites and Edomites because of their practices. In verse 3, you can reference Ezekiel 16, verse 45, which will come up later. Verse 4, as for your birth, and the day you were born, your navel string, 8270, was not cut, neither were you washed, 7364, in water for cleansing, 4935. That's Mishi. The form of Mishi is strange right here, and the word is dubious in its use. We don't know whether it really belongs here. So I'll just note that for you right now, that for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt, 4414, nor swaddled, 2853. Verse 5. No, I looked with compassion upon you to do any of these things to you, to have pity upon you, but you were cast out on the surface of the field. Your person was loathed, 1604, on the day you were born. That signifies the wicked bringing forth, giving birth to iniquity. Verse 6, and when I passed by you and saw you kicking out, 947, like an infant, in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. Now, yea, I said to you, in your blood, live, is added again, okay? In the text I have, but this is the second wording of this is missing in some of the older texts. That's just another note. Verse 7, I have caused you to be myriads, 7233, like the crops of the field. And you have increased and become great, and to are come to ornament of ornaments. That's 5716 doubled, and that speaks of full womanhood, because they're speaking of breasts and hair as ornaments. Continuing on in that verse, your breasts are firm, and your hair has grown, yet you were naked and bare. That's exposed with a sense of shame. Verse 8, I passed by you again and looked upon you. Behold, your time was the time of love, 1730. I spread my skirt over you, and that means that's a formal act of espousal, and covered your nakedness. Yea, I swore an oath to you, and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord Yahweh, and you became mine. He was the husband of Israel. And he cleaned Israel up. Verse 9, I washed you with water. I washed away the blood from upon you. I anointed you with oil. Verse 10, I clothed you with variegated stuff. That's embroidered work of various colors. And shod you with sandals of it's got an 8476 here, and it's an unknown type of animal skin. Whatever they put in the KJV is only a wish list. It's not in the Hebrew. It's an unknown word. But they put their opinion in anyway. I bound you with fine linen, and I covered you with silk. That's 4897. Now, 4897 is unsure, but it, pardon me, it indicates some type of costly material, most likely silk. So silk is unsure, okay? Verse 11, I decked you with ornaments, 5716. I put bracelets upon your hands. And hands is 3027. That includes the wrist area and the forearm. In the Hebrew, that's what they mean by hands. Any of that area is hands. And a chain upon your neck. Verse 12, I put a ring in your nose, and that was the fashion in those days, a nose ring, and earrings in your ears, and a glorious crown, 5850, upon your head. Verse 13, you were decked with gold and silver, and your raiment was fine linen, and, again, the word they use for silk, 4897, and variegated stuff. You ate fine flour, that's 5560, and that particular type of flour was usually reserved for sacrifice. And honey, 1706, and oil, 8081, that's pure olive oil. You were beautiful, 3302, with muchness, that's what it says. It translates to very, very beautiful. But in the Hebrew, it says muchness. 3966 doubled. And you did prosper, 6473, into royalty, 4410. Verse 14. And your name went forth among the nations for your beauty, because it was perfect through my ornaments, which I had put upon you, declares the Lord Yahweh. And here it turns. Let me get a little drink of water here. But you trusted, 982, in your beauty, and played the harlot, 2181, that's Zana, as intercourse with other deities, but also sometimes involving actual prostitution, because they were sex cults. Played the harlot on the basis of your name, and poured out fornications, 8457, Tadzinut, upon all that passed by, let it be his. In other words, they're talking about fornication with foreign gods. All these foreigners and their gods that passed through, they adopted these gods and took them in. They were not faithful to Yahweh. Verse 16. And from your garments you took and made your high places of variegated colors, and committed fornication upon them, but it shall not come, neither shall it be. They had bright cloth decorations up on a mountain or a man-made mound where they had their idols. and it shall not come, and neither shall it be, is unclear here. Verse 17, you took your beautiful jewels of gold and of silver, which I had given you, and made male images, and fornicated with them. Those were male images, were phallic symbols, and idols with male sex organs. I mean, this, it gets graphic in here, folks. It really does. I mean, I didn't write it. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But this is what it says in the Hebrew. And we need to know this. Verse 18. And took your variegated garments and covered them. They clothed these idols with their beautiful fabrics. And set my oil and my incense before them. Those were the oil and incense that were dedicated to Yahweh. And they took them and they offered them before these idols. Ah! Verse 19, my food which I gave you, fine flour, oil, and honey that I fed you, you set before them for a pleasing odor, and so it was, declared the Lord Yahweh. They did fire offerings before these images, and used the stuff that was dedicated to Yahweh for that. Man. Verse 20, this is nasty. You have taken the sons and daughters whom you have borne to me. They all belong to Yahweh. People of Israel were Yahweh's people. And sacrificed them to be devoured. Child sacrifice. And then they ate them. Or they devoured by the fire. This was some horrible stuff going on. Was your fornication a small matter? 4592, and that can read as insufficient. Verse 21. That you have slain my children and have given them to pass through the fire for them? And passing through the fire, you can reference Deuteronomy 18:10, 2 Kings 16, verse 3, 17, verse 17, and 31, chapter 21, verse 6, chapter 23, verse 10, 2 Chronicles 28, verse 3, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 31, chapter 19, verse 5, chapter 32, verse 35, and Ezekiel 20, verse 31, and 23, verse 37. This is Molech worship, passing them through the fire of a big bronze statue of Molech, throwing them in the fire so they would become Molechs, their own children. Does Pizzagate come to mind, folks? Where do all these kids go? Child sacrifice. What's going on today? Verse 22. And in all your abominations and your fornications, you have not remembered the days of your youth, when you were naked and bare and were kicking in your blood. Verse 23. And it came to pass after all your wickedness, woe, woe unto you, declares the Lord Yahweh. Verse 24, that you have built yourself a mound, 1354, that's a place for a raised pagan altar, and a shrine, 7413, in every plaza, 7339. Verse 25, you have built your shrine at every head of the way, the street entrance, and have made your beauty an abomination, 8581, Ta'ab, and have spread your legs to every passerby, that means all the foreign nations and merchants, and increased your fornications. verse 26. You played the harlot with the sons of Mitzrayim, your neighbors, that's Egypt. Great of flesh, 13:20, that means large of phallus. Sorry. And have increased your fornications to provoke me to anger. Provoke me to anger is one word, 3707, ka'as. Verse 27. Behold, I have stretched out my hand over you and have diminished your prescribed portion. He cut back all their supplies, etc. And given you to the desire of those that hate you. The daughters of the Pelishti. Daughters is a figurative for towns and villages. Which are ashamed, 3637, Kalam, of your unchaste, 2154, Zima, ways. Even the Philistines were ashamed of them. Verse 28, you have played the harlot with the sons of Asher, that's Assyria, because you were not satisfied. Yea, you have played the harlot with them, and yet could not be satisfied. Verse 29, you have increased your fornication with Kazdima, 3778, that's the Chaldeans of Babylon. The land of merchants, 3667, Canaanite merchants. What we got today, we got Canaanite merchants. And yet you were not satisfied with this. Verse 30, how weak is your heart, declares the Lord Yahweh, that you do all these things, the behavior of a domineering, whorish woman. Verse 31, building a mound in the head of every way and making a shrine in every plaza, but not as a harlot, because you scoff at hire. In other words, they weren't selling it, they were giving it away. Verse 32, you were like a wife that commits adultery, 5003, taking foreigners instead of her husband. And foreigners here is 2114, Zor as figurative of foreign gods, instead of her husband, 376, which is Ish, and that is a figure of Yahweh. So they hoard around with foreign gods instead of the real God. Verse 33. Gifts are given to harlots, but you give gifts to all your lovers and bribe them to come to you from every side for your fornication. They liked all these little pagan gods and the lasciviousness in behavior that came with them because they didn't have the rules that Yahweh's had. They just said, do whatever you want. Let's go have a big orgy. All right, I'm up for that. And then they went up on the big mound where the idols were and just had at it. Wickedness. Verse 34, you are the contrary, 2016, from other women in your fornications. That's the opposite. Where none comes after you to play the harlot, but you give a hire, and no hire is given to you. Therefore, you are the contrary. They're not even doing what a whore does. A whore gets paid for her services. They're paying others. Shoo! Verse 35. Therefore, O harlot, hear the word of Yahweh. Verse 36. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, because your brazenness, 5178, that's Nekushetek, from bronze, and speaking of brazen idolatry. Because your brazenness was poured out and your nakedness, 6172, uncovered, 1540, in fornication with your lovers, and with all the idols of your abominations, and by the blood of your children that you gave to them, killing their own kids. Ah! Verse 37, behold, therefore I will gather, 6908, all your lovers with whom you were pleasing, 149, and all you have loved with all you have hated. I will gather all around against you and will uncover your nakedness to them so they may see all your nakedness. And nakedness here translates to shame. Verse 38, I will judge you as women that commit adultery, 5003, and shed blood are judged. Now, women that commit adultery and shed blood. They had women that were sacrificing, pour out blood, and he will pass a sentence in judgment. That's 4941. And I will give you blood in fury, 2534, and anger, verse 39. And I will give you into their hands, and their being the lovers and haters of verse 37. And they shall throw down your mound, that your pagan idol mound, and tear down your shrines. And they shall strip you of your clothing and take your beautiful jewels and leave you naked and bare. Verse 40. They shall bring up an assembly against you, and they shall stone you with stones and cut you to pieces with their swords. These are the ones that Israel had allied with. They were all turning on her because of her apostasy. Yahweh was causing this to happen. Verse 41. They shall burn your houses with fire. And again, that's because they did pagan worship on the roof of these houses. So they're going to burn them all. And they burned Jerusalem. And execute acts of judgment upon you in the sight of many women. And I will cause you to desist, 7673, from playing the harlot, and you shall also give no hire any more. Verse 42, and my fury toward you shall rest. That'll be fulfilled, okay? 5117. And my anger shall depart from you, and I will be silent, 8252, and that's just pacified. And I will be angry no longer. So he was going to really punish them, and that his anger would abate. Verse 43, because you did not remember the days of your youth, but provoked me in all these things, behold, I will also put your ways upon your head, declares the Lord Yahweh. And you shall not commit this unchastity with all your abominations, that's religious harlotry. Verse 44, behold, all that use Proverbs, 4911, shall use this proverb against you, saying, as is the mother's mother, so is the her daughter. Verse 45, you are your mother's daughter that loathed her husband and children, and you are the sister of your sisters, which loathed their husband and children. Your mother was a Hitti and your father an Amori. Your elder sister is Shomeron, that's the 10 northern tribes. She and her daughters dwell to your north, and your younger sister that dwells to your south, Sedom, that's Sodom, and her daughters. Those are the villages around them. Verse 47, yet did you not walk in their ways, nor commit their abominations as a very small thing? In other words, inconsequential. Well, we just worshiped idols and burnt our children. Oh, no big deal. You were more corrupted than them in all your ways. In other words, more morally corrupted than the Canaanites. Oh! Verse 48, as I live, declares the Lord Yahweh, Sedom, your sister, has not done, she nor her daughters, as you have done, you and your daughters. Oh, man. Verse 49, behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sedom, pride, sated with food and ease of silence, 8:2:5:2. The wrath of Yahweh was silent for a while, absent for a while. So they forgot what he could do when they were angered. And ease of silence was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Greedy, greedy, greedy. Verse 50, they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I removed them when I saw it. Fire and brimstone. 51, neither has Shomeron committed half of your sins, but you have increased your abominations more than them and have justified your sisters and all the abominations which you have done. All the outlying villages were doing the same thing. The whole land was a mess. Verse 52. You also, who meditate for your sisters, bear your own ignominy. 3:6:3:9. That's loss of reputation, shame, reproach, for your sins that you committed more abominably than them. They are more righteous than you, even though they were cast into dispersion. Yea, you are also put to shame and bear your ignominy in that you have justified your sisters. Verse 53, when I restore their fortune, the fortune of Sedom and her daughters, and the fortune of Shomeron and her daughters, then the fortune of your captives in the midst of them. Verse 54, that you bear your own ignominy and be disgraced in all you have done because you were a comfort to them. In other words, your behavior was a support for their sins. Verse 55. When your sisters, Sedom and their daughters, return to their former estate, 6:9:2:7, Kadema, like it was in the old good old days of prosperity, and Shomeron and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then you and your daughters shall return to your former estate. You'll prosper again, but only after you change. Verse 56. Your sister Sedom was not mentioned by your mouth in the day of your pride. 57. Before your wickedness was uncovered, like at the time of reproach from the daughters of Aram, that's Syria, the Arameans, and all around her, the daughters of the Philistines, who despise you from all around, they really hated Israel. Verse 58, you must bear your unchastity and your abominations. In other words, bear the consequences, declares Yahweh. Verse 59, because thus says the Lord Yahweh, I will deal with you as you have done, who have despised the oath and broken the covenant. Verse 60, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish it with you as an everlasting covenant. This is in the future, but right now he's going to punish them. Verse 61, you shall remember your ways and be ashamed when you shall take your sisters, take possession of, actually, your sisters, your elder and your younger, and I will give them to you for daughters, though they are not of your covenant. These are possessed cities and towns. They will be suburbs, even though the people in them are not of the covenant people. You'll have dominion over them, in other words. Verse 62, I will establish my covenant with, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 63, thus you will remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth anymore from the presence of your shame when I am reconciled, 3722, with you for all that you have done, declares the Lord Yahweh. And that ends chapter 16. That was a long chapter, 63 verses. But there's so much in that that applies to today. We are in apostasy today. We idolize all kinds of things, not necessarily cast gods, but we have made gods out of sports figures. The Church of Rome continues in its apostasy by having all the statues that people bow and kneel and genuflect before, and light candles like burning incense, all the things that they did similarly with the gods, the little g gods on those high places. And the Catholic Church is very, very wealthy. It's very rich. And what do they do with it? They build great cathedrals and gold, silver, and the Vatican is horrendously wealthy. They were talking of Israel as an infant, and these were cleansing practices that they did. They washed them, and they rubbed them with salt for some reason. I don't know. But they had cleansing practices they used to do, and he relocated Israel as a newborn infant that didn't know any better. But as it grew up, it became beautiful and voluptuous and forsake Yahweh, or forsook Yahweh, and started whoring around with all these foreign gods. And this happened over a period of time. Well, let's look at today. We are in a mess, and it took a long time to get into this mess. We can't look for an overnight fix until Yeshua Messiah comes. We may make a stride or two and repair a few things, but then we fall back in other areas. The enemy's children are persistent, if nothing else. They never stop. 24/7, attack, attack, attack. Subtle attacks, sneak attacks, lie attacks. Convince the unsuspecting and the ignorant and the lazy, non-studying church members that they are Gawad's chosen people. when they are not. They are chosen for destruction because they're Edomites and a bunch of other ites all mixed in a racial soup. They can't be saved. But what they've done is infiltrated all these schools for pastors. And they are training white men to go out and spew their lies. They are deceiving them. And they have them convinced that that's exactly what they should believe. And they go out and then they teach congregations the same garbage. It's a lie from a lie from a lie. It's passed on generation to generation, and these church members have heard it from birth. It's been going on that long. And they are so steeped in this indoctrination that it upsets them so much when they hear the truth that they actually get violently angry and want to harm the messenger of truth. There are some churches out in the country, you take your life in your hands going in there and teaching the true gospel. They will beat you to death or shoot you in certain areas. People think I'm joking about that. That is not a joke, folks. Not at all. I'm deadly serious about that. And so are they. If you say a word against the King James Bible, you've got a physical fight on your hands. They're going to punch you in the mouth for saying that. They'll start a fist fight right there in the church. I've seen it. They will not tolerate anything that contravenes their man-made doctrine. They won't abide it. Absolutely forbidden. They will get super, super, super angry with you. This is a problem that we face. They don't want to leave that herd. They don't want to leave their comfort zone. They were talking about that in chapter 16, in your comfort. You're secure in your comfort. Well, they're secure in their comfort. They're in a herd. And they're protected by the rest of the herd, safety in numbers. All the while, though, being fed poison by the pastor of the herd. And they don't know it. And if you show them the truth, they will deny it. They have their eyes shut tight. I already know everything. My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with facts. Well, I mean, what can you say to that? I've come down pretty much to the end of the hour. I will talk to you again tomorrow, and we will begin in chapter 17 of Ezekiel on Wednesday. Shalom Aleichem, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.